Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 200 of the Hawks Talks podcast and all things Atlanta Hawks podcast, hosted by two lifelong Hawks fans. As always, I'm Jackson, joined today by my lovely co-host, Logan. Logan, welcome to episode 200, a milestone for both us and the Hawks Talks podcast, which we created almost 4 years ago this upcoming October. But as always, Logan, how are you, my man?
They said we wouldn't make it, Jackson. They said we'd be purchased up by a conglomerate. They said Hawks fans TV would take all the airspace, and we said, "Oh well, we'll deal with it anyway." And we're up to 200 episodes, Jackson. Did you think we'd ever make it this far?
Are you not entertained? No, but seriously, you know, episode 200, obviously a milestone for both me and Logan. As I just said a few seconds ago, me and Logan, we started this podcast in October of 2020. One of our first episodes was previewing the 2020 NBA draft. We had done some previous podcasting before that, about 6 months, and then we just dived on into the Hawks Talks. And I mean, ever since then, it's been awesome. It's been incredible. So, you know, obviously a lot of thank yous to be due, but I just want to thank everyone listening today, everyone who's listened in the past. We really do appreciate it. It means a lot, man. You know, you never really imagine yourself becoming, you know, somebody who has like an audience of people who want to listen to your voice, your takes on things, and especially something that you really do love and enjoy, like the Atlanta Hawks. So just a big thank you to everyone out there listening, who's listened in the past, listening today. Give yourself a pat on the back. This is a bit of a milestone episode, so it's going to be a bit more of a special episode. So it will be a bit more longer, like our previous content was. You know, lately we've, you know, shortened down episodes a little bit. But today we have some fun stuff planned. We have two special guests, Logan. That's right, Logan, special guest. We're doing the yearly Hawks Talks Award Show, the fourth in a row, rolling out the red carpet, giving out some awards, both good and bad, to Hawks players from this past season. And we're also, today is the return of the mailbag. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions. Awesome to get, you know, everyone's question. We have a bunch of questions to answer today. And Logan, we do have to talk about some Hawks stuff that has gone down ever since our final episode, which was when our season ended against the Bulls. Logan, would you like to talk about that, or do you want me to take the reins on it?
I don't even know what's happened since then.
Well, I think the most pressing thing is that obviously the Hawks season is over, but the most pressing thing really is that the Atlanta Hawks will not have two draft picks in this upcoming draft, as the Sacramento Kings lost in the play-ins. So, yeah, the Hawks did not get that pick this year. This year, they still have a chance of getting in 2025 and 2026. Logan, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last episode. Like, there's an argument to be made, because it was kind of a thing where people weren't sure, like, oh, do we want the pick now or later? I still, like, wish the pick would have conveyed, because having an asset that is concrete earlier is good. Something I hadn't realized, Jackson, is that Malik Monk might be out of there. And I do not know how good Sacramento will be without Malik Monk. So that's a little concerning. But, you know, nothing we can really do about it anyway. So what are we going to do? Is what it is. We got one pick. We got our own pick. Currently the 10th best odds in the lottery. The best lottery odds we've had since the Onyeka Okongwu draft, which is, of course, the first Hawks Talks episode was about that draft in Okongwu. So, kind of a little full circle moment. Took exactly 200 episodes for us to get back into the lottery, but here we are. We're back. Lottery is in what, about 15-16 days? I believe it's on a Sunday, 2 weeks from now. So that will probably be our next episode, just fully up front. The 200 is going to be like an hour to an hour and a half of content here. It's going to be, I truly believe it'll be our best episode ever. And then we're going on a little mini podcast or vacation, because Lord knows we all could use a vacation. Some of our most devoted fans have taken vacations. Like after that Bulls loss, I think a lot of people said, fuck this. Like, I'm taking a few weeks off basketball, which, very smart. I definitely recommend. But yeah, I mean, the truth is, the Hawks stuff, there's not going to be news until the lottery. So I think it's good to just really focus on ourselves, Jackson. Let's be a little selfish. Let's focus on, you know, Hawks Talks, because the Hawks don't really matter. You know, the NBA playoffs don't matter. We're only two games into these series, three games into some of them. Rest in peace to the Lakers season. Hope y'all are enjoying that 2029 pick in Max Christie, because you were not getting DeJounte Murray with it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the Hawks stuff, you know, we'll get to the awards later, because we have, per usual, we got about eight to 10 awards to give the Hawks players, many good, many bad. But I think one thing we should do, Jackson, early on, is I think we should give a particularly hearty thank you and show some appreciation to, firstly, our Patreons that have supported us lately, because they, you know, they deserve some good shout-outs. So, Jackson, if you can work on pulling up the list of patrons, because I don't think you have that handy, because I'm sort of shocking you with this, but I wanted to make sure we did it early on in the podcast. And then we will get right into the mailbag as a thank you for everyone that asked questions. And we got like 10 mailbag questions. One of them was completely obscene from Dylan. We will not be answering that one. Like Jackson said, he needs to be beaten with hammers for what he asked us. But, you know, we said you could ask us anything, and he asked us anything. So we can't really blame him, but he does need to be punished. So, Dylan, if you're listening to this, your time is coming. You will reap what you sown. But for the time being, Jackson, I'm thinking we just sort of shout out the fans and get the fan-centric stuff rolling. I'm really excited for this mailbag. We have not done a mailbag in a long time, Jackson, and I'm hyped for this one.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, we do have some Patreons, so shout out to all of them. You know, it really is, you know, awesome that, you know, we have all of those. So just want to give a big shout out to Olaf, who's always supported us ever since the beginning. A big shout out to Olaf. A big shout out to my brother Darian, you know, always has come through. He supported the podcast. A huge shout out to Michael Green. Michael Green was probably like the first time, Logan, that me and you were like, wow, like we have like this podcast isn't just something our friends and family listen to. Like we have people who, you know, found the podcast, you know, started listening to the podcast, and then we became friends with him. So shout out to Michael. A shout out to Jacob. I mean, just a great guy. He interacts with us on Twitter. He's obviously a patron. We really appreciate it. Shout out to Rev. You know, I said this last episode too, so that's two in a row for you. I mean, you know, sometimes he could, you know, he's a friend of ours, but, you know, we do appreciate it. Shout out to J-Bots, as always, just a great guy all around. And shout out to Ashley. So just a big thank you to all of our patrons, all great, wonderful, beautiful people who we should all aspire to be like.
And no, I will, thank you, everyone. I will say, you guys should really aspire to be like them, because they are, coincidentally, the people that pay us money are actually the best people we know.
That's true. Yeah.
So if you want to, you know, upgrade your status, throw us a couple shillings every month, and we'll tap dance for you. But I think it's time we get into the mailbag, because the mailbag's a doozy. Like we're gonna have to take some serious time, because
I did not expect us to get this many questions. I mean, I know some people double dipped. We're looking at you, Nate. But yeah.
Hey, no issue with that. I got no issue with Nate double dipping. I was honestly gonna I was fingers crossed when we'd get, you know, a good number of questions like this. So I'm very glad that we did. Darian actually asked a question, but I think we'll hold off on that one. You know, he's your brother. You can just tell him your answer in real life, right?
Yeah.
So do you want to start off on a basketball note or a non-basketball note, Jackson?
Honestly, I have a great respect for this question, Logan. It is a non-basketball question, so that should tell you where it's going. It's also from JP, just awesome guy. Love that guy's Twitter, man.
Another legend of the Hawks Talks community. A shout out to JP. What else can you say other than just a legend in his
leader
in,
of men, his industry? Integrity. I mean, just an awesome guy, man.
The racetrack warrior. But he asked us to power rank the Quick Trip roller grill items. This is because we've made many references to gas station food. I'll be honest, I'm a little bit of a connoisseur. You know, if he were to ask me about racetrack food options, I'd probably be able to go into that. I've never been to the Wawa's up there. I think I've been to a 7-Eleven like once, but they don't got them where I'm at. But they got Quick Trips, Jackson, and I got an extensive pass with Quick Trip roller grill items. I don't know if I've talked about it that often on the podcast, but I know I've said it before, but I played a good amount of hockey when I was growing up, from the time I was about 9 to probably like 22. So a lot of years of playing hockey, and I will say an actual core memory I have of playing hockey was, we'd pass a Quick Trip pretty much on the way to the rink, and I remember the games would be at either Saturday like 9 a.m. or Saturday at like noon, or, you know, something similar. So we pass a Quick Trip, and I'm like, dude, I'm hungry. Like, I need a pregame snack. I went to the Quick Trip. I got two roller grill. They had like cheese sticks. They don't got them no more, but they were like cheese sticks. Not taquitos. They're like cheese sticks, like kind of what you'd get at a cafeteria for school. And after I had those cheese sticks, I went out and played, and that was my first ever multi-goal game, Jackson. Thanks to those Quick Trip cheese sticks. And then I did it again the next week, and I scored two more goals. And then the third week, I got the cheese sticks again, and I did not score. So that's when I knew that the luck had ran out. But I do thank Quick Trip for the back-to-back two-goal games, because I did not have the goal scoring touch before that, but I have ever since. But we're talking about power ranking them, Jackson. I know you have an intimate issue with the quick tip roller grill items, but I think I'm just going to list out some items and we both give our input. You feeling good about that, Jackson?
Oh, I have a bit of a quick trip horror story, but that's besides the point.
We'll get to it. Anyway, I think number one, we got to start with some of the basics. All right. The buffalo chicken cheese rollers. I mean, I don't know if I want to grade them in like a tier list thing or what are you thinking? Tier list or like numbers out of 10, Jackson?
Yeah, this is a numbers out of 10 for me. This is not a tier list.
This gets a 7 out of 10 for me. I think it's a strong, solid list, to be fully honest, or item. I think it's a basic, but it's a goodie. When it's properly cooked, I think it's a very good protein. A little bit of spice, a little bit of cheese. When it's poorly cooked, it's terrible, but that kind of goes for... I mean, it's gas station, for crying out loud. Like, it's going to taste like shit most of the time, but when it is good, it'll be good. So, Jackson, what are your thoughts on the... buffalo chicken.
I'm gonna be honest. Roll. I'm not much of a buffalo person. I'm sorry that y'all find out like this, but yeah, I would. If that was on the roller grill, I'm looking elsewhere. I'm gonna just be real.
I mean, you say that, and that's fine because I know I'm gonna have the same response to some other choices. Some quick trip, popular sort of roller items. I think we move on to the taquitos. I think this is what they're kind of known for, Jackson. Let's start with just the standard cheese, pepper jack cheese, taquito Jackson.
That's a 9 out of 10.
A 9 out of 10. That's strong. I was going to give it a 7 out of 10 again. It's been one of my favorites lately. Like with the past few months, I've gotten it a couple times. I've been
cheesing it. Quick Trip is going to sponsor us.
Dude, that's the fucking goal. You know, if they, I've unironically spent a lot of money on energy drinks and terrible, like things that are going to kill me at Quick Trip, but so be it. Yeah, I think it's a strong item. You know, I think it's tied with the buffalo chicken roller for me. But you're clearly a taquito guy, Jackson. You're clearly a man of the taquito. I'm getting a sense from that. I'm hearing you're a taquito stan.
That would be correct, in all honesty. You know, I do have a bit of a horror story with the taquitos, but my support has not wavered. You know, when shit hits the fan, Logan, are you still a fan? That's my philosophy. And I'll just go ahead and tell it. A few months ago, me and my brother went to a Georgia Tech game. They lost. It was the Boston College. On the way back, we don't have Quick Trips in Columbus. Just saying, Logan, just look into that. Maybe bring some here.
That's tragic.
Anyways, you know, I got 4 taquitos. I was hungry. This is a judgment-free zone, by the way, before you start
all yelling at. Crazy.
Okay, here we go again. See, this is why I don't want to tell the story. Anyways.
I feel like you could have just lied and said 2.
I ate the 4 taquitos on the way home. All right, maybe like an hour drive home. I ate the taquitos. The next day, I woke up. I was not feeling good. Me and Logan actually had the podcast, and I had to postpone till the next day because I was not feeling good. The day after that, my brother did not feel good. And the day after that, my mom did not feel good. We all had the same symptoms after I ate the taquitos, Logan. And you don't know what happened next? My mom went to the hospital because she did not feel good. So you could probably say that taquitos put my poor mother in the hospital.
And you want to get sponsored by them?
No. But I'm still a fan. Like, I would still get them again. When shit hits the fan, Logan, I'm still a fan of taquitos. I've gotten them several times before on road trips. I'm not backing away just because I had a bad experience one time. Like,
now, we do need to be clear. These were the steak and cheese taquitos. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, they were probably sitting out there for several hours. I mean,
yeah, I mean, the steak and cheese gets a solid 2 for me, Jackson. And
that was like a 4. It's aight.
Part of the reason it gets a 2 for me, besides the fact that they have hurt you and your family so deeply, is I have... nothing inside of me that can trust gas station red meat. Like, cheese, fine. Chicken, I get it. It's just ground chicken. Like, I've eaten chicken from fast food thousands of times, crazy. 100 plus times, probably, over the course of my now 27 years. But,
damn,
my feet. Yeah. All right, man. But, damn it. I'm fucking DeAndre Hunter age, bro. But steak? From Quick Trip, I'm not doing that. So it gets a 2
that's
out of 10.
Valid. But I didn't consider that. I just saw steak and cheese, and I was like, yep, that's happening today. And it was a incredible decision. I should just took
it. Now, I had mentioned this in my response to JT. Some of my greatest roller grill items of all time and my worst roller grill items of all time are both taquitos that are seasonal. The best roller grill item of all time, for my choice, for my taste, was the jalapeno popper. Taquito from Quick Trip. I find it to be a 9 to 9.5 out of 10. When it was right, it was delicious. It was like the best jalapeno popper you've ever had. When it was bad, it was still pretty good, just maybe a little overcooked. Have you ever had those, Jackson?
I have not.
Well,
so seasonal items. I mean, road trips, they don't match up well. You know, we don't have a quick trip here. So,
yeah, that is a good point. But the issue is that I have not seen that seasonal item in like over a calendar year now.
You should write to corporate, in my opinion.
I went earlier this week. They had like some sort of beef nacho, which sounded terrible, so I didn't even bother. But the worst item I've ever had, Jackson, was an orange chicken taquito.
Yeah, I saw that one was there when I went, and I said, I don't know who would get that. So we're on the same page here. That might be a zero, legitimately.
It's getting a one, and I'll be.
Wait, you tried it?
Like, yeah, because what happened was I was at I had jury duty for a week, nice. And they release you for lunch, and I'm like, I'm not getting like Quick Trip was right there, and I was like. I honestly believed it had potential. I was like, if it tastes like orange chicken, then it's delicious. It tasted like shit. It was terrible. But you know, sometimes you gotta take the L. I think that's all the taquitos that we've covered. Now we move on to the hot dog section. Jackson, have you ever had just a good old fashioned shaboing boing from Quick Trip? Just
on yeah, a bun I with have. Toppings.
How would you rate it?
Like an 8 out of 10. Oh, it's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie.
Wow. Yeah. I'd give it like a 5. It's an average dog, you know.
Hot dogs
an average...
are pretty low floor, low ceiling food, in my opinion. They're just okay.
That's a pretty the low floor, low ceiling is pretty true.
The DeAndre Hunter of food items.
Yeah, because like a good hot dog is good, but it's never that special.
There's a reason why they call the Varsity a tourist trap, Logan. Like, let's just keep it real, people. It starts with the hot dogs, man.
Yeah, and like, you know, and we're not talking about, you know, you're going out to Germany and you're getting like a good, like a real deal sausage on a bun here. We're not talking about that. Yeah, we're talking about, you know, Hebrew National boiled and put on a bun.
American
and
Frank, Red Hots, Red Links.
Yeah, there you go. Links. I give it a 5. Jackson, what about their corn dogs, which is not really corn dogs. It's just a hot dog covered in some sort of...
That's like a 9.5. I'm sorry. Wow. I'm a sicko for a corn dog.
Wow. I have only had it once in the past, like that I can remember, and it was really disappointing.
Sonic had 50 cent corn dogs. I wrote all my local elected officials saying thank you, honestly.
No, Sonic corn dog's pretty good, but the Quick Trip one I was not, just wasn't really a fan of. And I think that's all the roller grill items that I've tried that I can think of. There's been some weird ones. I think there's probably some breakfast specific ones, but I don't do breakfast. Like, I'm not waking up at 8 and yo, going to
if quick. You're breaking your fast for Quick Trip food items, that's kind of wild, honestly.
I've done it like once or twice because I remember I was going to go play basketball and it was during the summer, so you start at like 9 or 10 a.m. before the sun gets out. And I got like a biscuit there because they got a little hot bar you can grab.
Well, gas station biscuits are good. That's like a southern delicacy, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They have a bunch of, I've tried a lot of the different sandwiches. I've tried their pretzel. I've tried some of their desserts. It's good, but JP asked for the roller grill items from QT, and that's what we're delivering.
All right, 10 minutes of Quick Trip food discussion. You're welcome, guys. Best Hawks podcast in the world, by the way.
Yeah, we hype it up for a week about being the best episode ever. Time
there's people listening to this going, God, how fat are they? Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, JP asked, and I had to answer. Look.
Make sure you send us yours, JP. We're curious. We need to know, so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest.
You could DM us too if you don't want this to be public information. I realize you may get silenced.
Yeah. Next mailbag. I'm going back to this. All right. I'm going back. But anyway, we must move on.
All right. Now we have some actual Hawks questions.
So, yeah, we got like 6 actual Hawks questions now, guys. So if you guys left or you skipped ahead. If you guys skipped ahead, now was a good time to tune back in. Yeah, my favorite part of the mailbag was there's some people that I haven't really interacted with much that are asking questions. So it's like they were just waiting for the opportunity, man. So I don't know exactly what some of these people want to be called. So I'll just kind of give both options. But @insanekane said, please. And he actually gave a multi-part question, which I like. It was like high school exam level stuff, like boom, boom, boom. Like you got to give, you know, short response. Please go into your full thoughts about Quinn Snyder, especially, he said, I think Logan, because I think it's clear that y'all had higher expectations and thought that he was bad. I think we've done the Quinn Snyder stuff enough to where we can keep it brief here, but we'll both get a turn. My full thoughts on Quinn Snyder was that I was definitely disappointed. I think he was he slash the team in general was just much worse than I feel like it should have been. I understand the injuries really kind of, like, I think the injuries brought us down from like a 500 team to being a 10 game below 500 team. But the Snyder stuff, I'll be honest, I'm legitimately concerned about, can he create a defense without a Hall of Fame level rim protector? I'm a little bit wary about that. I understand that personnel for us was quite bad defensively. Not really Quinn's fault, but I trust that he can build a good offense. I trust that he can, you know, do good things with skilled forwards like he showed with Jalen Johnson and honestly to a slight extent Vic Krejci. But yeah, I was a little disappointed. I'm not nearly as dramatic as Jackson can be at times about Quinn Snyder. But I was definitely a little disappointed. I had higher expectations. That's not entirely on Quinn's fault. I think everyone can kind of be blamed for the season in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, that's kind of my Quinn Snyder thing. Like, the offense is good, the defense is concerning, and the development thing felt very half-baked to me. I feel like we got lied to about being development first. So I guess fingers crossed. We'll see how it develops. But obviously, I'm in no rush to fire Quinn Snyder. Like don't get me wrong. But Jackson.
All right, I'll touch on three things. First of all, there was points in the season where I think I might have been, and this will be shocking to you, Logan, a bit overreactive and overdramatic to Quinn Snyder. I had high expectations. We both did going into the season. You can listen to the podcast, the preseason podcast we did. I think we both predicted over 40 or 45 wins, one of those. And, you know, we obviously didn't come close to that. So, and also there were just frustrating parts of the season where I might have been a bit too overreactive and dramatic to Quinn Snyder. The second thing I'll touch on is, while I don't think he's responsible for us being bad this season, I think that firstly comes down to roster construction and then injuries. I think that the roster was all over the place this year. I don't think he was put into a position to succeed and win games, like, straight up. And, you know, I've always kind of said that. And yeah, and then the injuries obviously just cost, especially down the stretch. I mean, we played the Bulls without two of our top five players, in my opinion, and one of them being our second best player, in my opinion. Third thing, my thing with Quinn Snyder is that historically he has not had good success in the playoffs. In the bubble, he choked a 3-1 lead. And then the year after that, if you remember, the Jazz lost to the Clippers, the Kawhi-less Clippers, after going up 2-0 and Kawhi was out for the remainder of the series. They pretty much lost that game all in the same way of just, and Logan, this will sound familiar, giving up easy, wide-open three-pointers. I think that was a reoccurring thing with the Hawks this season. I think that's something he needs to adjust on. And the year after that, they lost to the Mavericks, and the Mavericks didn't have Luka for two or three games. So, I mean, obviously that was the series Brunson emerged, but historically, like, I don't feel like his playoff resume, you know, leads me to believe that Quinn Snyder is like is the best coach in the league, for example. I feel like he's a good coach. I feel like he's an above average coach. Like, there's a lot worse options. I mean, and he's much better than Lloyd Pierce and Nate Miller. No offense, but those are just past coaches that we've had. And I guess my final thing is, one thing I judge Quinn for this year was, and it's been a thing throughout his Hawks tenure, is I feel like there's two sides of a coin when it comes to being a coach. I feel like there's coaches who are way too reactive to stuff and they're constantly changing things. And I think there's coaches who are way too stubborn. I don't mean they have a negative connotation, and they never change stuff. They don't try new things. They don't try new lineups, whatever. They don't try new players. And I feel like Quinn Snyder is personally a bit more on the too stubborn side. There were times this year where I thought in-game adjustments were lacking. And a big thing for me was the lineups. Before Okongwu got hurt and Capella got hurt, it was pretty obvious for about 2 months that Okongwu this season should have been starting over Capella. When John Collins was on the team, there was times where John Collins was putting up absolute stinkers and Quinn Snyder was still closing with him over somebody like Sadiq Bey. I talked about that on the podcast once. So I feel like he's too locked into certain players and certain lineups, which is something I would like to see change this upcoming season. And yeah, this past season, I thought he was way too locked in on a guy like Wesley Matthews over a guy like Kobe Bufkin. And I kind of talked about it in the Bulls game. I would have preferred to see Kobe over Wes. So, or just, you know, both of them. But yeah, and I don't feel like you've got as much as a chance, but also they were injured this year, so I kind of feel like he gets a pass on that. But obviously we'll see, and that's my Quinn Snyder thoughts. Oh, that answers your question.
There you have it. He has two more parts of the question. These should be much quicker, though. If there is one star you could get on this team right now, who would you want?
Anthony Chester? Edwards.
Yeah, great answer.
I don't care that he went to Georgia. God bless my Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, but I don't care, bro. I don't see colleges in the NBA. Get him on the team. Honestly, it's funny because another question can be answered of a UGA player later on. In fact.
Yeah, and there's another question that's sort of similar, but not quite the same. So I'll just actually agree with your Anthony Edwards with this one for right now, but it won't happen. So sad times. But yeah, Anthony Edwards with his defensive emergence is a pretty clear cut, like perfect guy to put next to Trey. So a little bit of a heartbreaker.
He's also just cool. Like, let's just call him his.
Let's don't give him a phone that records video and he's cool. Anyway, his third part of his three-part question. Do you think the Hawks not buying during the deadline was the right decision considering the outcome of the season? Hindsight is a strong and powerful thing, but I will be honest. The regrets that we did not trade anybody during the deadline. The only thing I think we maybe should have done during the deadline was try a little bit harder to get Clint Capella's bum ass off the team, but then Clint Capella... then Okongwu got hurt, so actually it would have been kind of funny. So, to answer quickly, I don't think it was a bad decision to not buy, because I'll be honest, I think this team would have to buy
a lot
divine intervention to have any chance winning anything. So not buying, I will live with. Not selling hurts a little bit, but I'll live with. I imagine you're of a similar sort of train of thought, Jackson.
Yeah. The way the season ended, there's no reason to buy. The only thing that I would have wanted the Hawks to buy at the deadline was just like smaller, like kind of potential players like the Celtics did with Jaden Springer. But also, like, I'm not getting upset over us not trading for Jaden Springer, like straight up. And I would have preferred to sell at the deadline a little bit. I said that then, I'll set it now. Like, there's some guys on the roster who should have been shipped out. The winning streak before the deadline be damned. And you kind of said that with Capella Logan. Like, he's obviously an example. But, yeah, that's my thoughts. But, no regrets over it. I think it was the right decision to not buy, especially someone expensive. Reevaluate in the offseason. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah, but Landry Fields, you better get to fucking work this summer. So, thank you, Insane Kane, for your questions. We'll move along to – we'll do both of Straw Hat Nate's questions back-to-back. Again, similar vein to what Insane Kane asked. Who would be the best player to play alongside Trey? Has your answer changed, Jackson?
I'll actually answer this one differently than I just did his. The best player to play alongside Trey that isn't, you know, like an obvious star player, which I'm giving you kind of a fun answer, Nate, because your next one is like a star player that you asked for, was, I would say this one is Jaden McDaniels. I don't know if you, I've always been a Jaden McDaniels fan. His playoff series have been electric, absolutely electric. Like, he's the absolute perfect player you would want next to Trae Young. You know, 6'9", legit perimeter point of attack defender.
They can guard down low. But we got Jaden McDaniels.
I mean, he wasn't lying though. They're up, 2-0? I mean, hey, just say the proof is in the pudding. So that's what I would say, Jaden McDaniels for this one.
I definitely agree with that, but when I first answered or saw this question, I believe we messaged about it because I said I had a, I guess, not controversial, but like a different answer than you'd probably expect, Jackson. It's Wembanyama.
Oh, it's straight up.
It's Wemby. Like that. He could also be the answer for if there is one star you could get on this team right now, who would you want? It's obviously far from possible. But yeah, I think you give Trae Young a DPOY level big man, offer like at 20 years old, DPOY level big man who can also shoot and is crafty enough to score with when close to the rim. Like, it's hard to imagine that not being one of the greatest tandems in the league day one. It's hard to not imagine that happening. But, you know, if we ever want to see that, it'll mean Trae Young's in San Antonio. So, you know, womp womp. thank you for the first question, Straw Hat Nate. We'll move on to your second question. If the Hawks were to make a major trade this offseason, who would you like for it to be for? It can be realistic or 2K my GM level of bullshit. I like to try and be realistic. Because that's hard. Like, I'll be honest. Can you go ahead, Jackson? I'm actually rethinking what
major trade this offseason. I don't know if this guy constitutes major, but I think it's realistic. I'll answer both of them. I'll do my GM level of BS and realistic. Your realistic one for a major trade this offseason for me personally would be Herb Jones. Straight up, like,
there you go. Good
just choice. a great point of attack defender, tall guy. He would do wonders on this Hawks team, especially next to Trae Young. And for your my GM level of BS, obviously like an Anthony Edwards, obviously like a Kawhi. I mean, those guys, just, you know, guys who are fun like that. Maybe not even Kawhi, because he's hurt a lot nowadays. It breaks my heart. Low key on this one, Nate, and I know this one's gonna, you know, it wouldn't be a Hawks Talks episode without me saying something slightly controversial, Logan. There's a team out west, Logan, who's not looking too good as far as the playoff goes. They don't have many assets that are tradable, and they're not. And if they don't start winning soon, I could see this guy wanting out. It's number 77, Logan. I mean, I'm just saying, man, there's a world that exists where Luke asked for a trade in that couple of years.
I want him out of there.
And listen, if I'm doing a my GM level BS, put Trae Young and Luka together. I don't care. I want to see it. We will be there. I mean, that's my answer. I'm sorry. It's controversial, but there you go.
I respect it.
I gave you Herb with my realistic one and Luke with the BS one.
Because Herb is there is a world where we trade DeJounte Murray and Herb Jones is coming back. There's a world where that happens. So I think that's a good realistic one. And, you know, I'll start with my 2K, my GM level BS. I mean, literally, Wembanyama, Anthony Edwards is probably the ultimate, there's just no scenario in which either of those teams trade those guys. Luke is a good one. I'll just go with a good old Giannis, just to complete the whole, you know, Atlanta liked him at the draft stuff. It'd be fun to just get a, you know, the Bucks just realize it's not working. They blow it up. Little DeJounte and a couple picks for Giannis, you know. It'd be funny, but not going to happen. Major trade this offseason that you would like that's a little more realistic. I really liked Herb Jones. Is it realistic to say Mikal Bridges is kind of realistic? I don't know.
I think that's realistic.
Because, I mean, they're just going nowhere. I think it's become blatantly clear that Mikal Bridges, shocker, is a role player. Who would have thought the 3-and-D guy's a role player, not a number one? I would do a DeJounte with maybe personally, I feel like DeJounte should get you pretty much right there for Mikal Bridges, but clearly they're probably not thinking the same. But yeah, I think realistically, Mikal Bridges would be very good for us. And unrealistically, insert any of the top 10 players in the league, honestly. But Wemby, AE, and Giannis are probably my favorite there. So thank you for both your questions, Straw Hat and Nate.
Love that guy.
Yeah. He is also one of the OG long-term Hawks fans. This will be a name that some of you better remember because he has been on an episode of this podcast long, long, long ago.
Logan, I don't mean to stop you. I don't mean to interrupt you. I'd like to apologize. I know a lot of people. We did this episode with Jay, and a lot of people, you know, clowned us for it. They clowned all three of us for it. And I just want to take the second to apologize to Jay. Someone said in the comments on one of those episodes that we talked way too much over you. I want to apologize to you, Jay, because that was true after I listened back. But also, Jay, I just want to take a second to give you your flowers, man, because I'm just doing this. I'm going into business for myself, Logan. This podcast gained a lot more viewers and people who actually listen after that episode, man. So, Jay, I'm giving you your flowers, man. You deserve it. You know, you were on for one episode, but you definitely did bring people over and you made the podcast more a legitimate thing. And also, the episode was just funny looking back on it. That's kind of when Hawk Stalks kind of submit ourselves as this is a part-time comedy podcast. So Jay, I just want to give you your flowers, man. A lot of respect, a lot of love to you. I hope you're doing well. I know you're not out on the streets of the internet these days on Reddit, all that, but hey, man, just want to give you your flowers. I appreciate you, my guy.
There you go. And he asked, did Ressler set the Hawks back 10 years by hiring his son? My answer is no. He set the Hawks back 10 years by hiring Travis Schlenk. Thank you very much.
And all of Hawks Twitter hates you, Logan.
Me?
They were doing the Schlenk stuff earlier this week. I don't know if you saw.
Yeah, dude. I will get my little shtick off this because it's different now because I have something new to say. If you guys think for a second that Mark Cuban is being completely earnest in the interview, you've got to think a little more intricately. Mark Cuban just basically sold off his majority stake in the franchise of the Mavericks. He's basically done as their owner. He'll be a little mascot on, he's sitting courtside. He'll pay a little money, he'll get a little money. He has every incentive to lie and look like the hero and tell him, oh yeah, I single-handedly brought Luka here. Just saying, maybe believe the reporting from a few years ago that Schlenk liked JJJ and Travis Schlenk is not your savior. If he was our savior, he will save the Wizards and he'll do it quickly. And I can guarantee you guys, that's not happening. So bottom line, Mark Cuban's a bitch. Travis Schlenk is a bald motherfucker. That's all. All right. But thank you, Jay. I did think the questions were very good. And obviously, I wish he had not hired his son because he is.
I prefer not to do nepotism hires, regardless of how it goes. You know, I just don't feel like it's good practice.
Yeah.
Speaking of nepotism, shout out to my brother.
All right, we'll worry about that later. We got a question from a fan of the podcast, Dylan/Dijon. We got one legit question, one terrible
question.
Don't
even bring up the troll question. Yeah. Police take his ass to jail.
He also asked, what gettable stars are our preference and which ones do we not want? I think we've answered the gettable stars one. You want to know who I don't want? I don't want Brandon Ingram. I do not want Brandon Ingram.
I'm soured on Ingram. I'm kind of there with you nowadays.
I don't want him.
I will give you one. I do not want Karl-Anthony Towns.
Okay. For sure. Oh, for sure. That was my Karl-Anthony Towns impression. I don't even feel like he'll be on the trade deadline. Like, they're making the second round. They're beating the Suns. Sorry, Jake, by the way. But, yeah, I that's a good one. I don't think I want Karl-Anthony Towns either. Chris Dave asked a question. He said, if Trey's the guy, who do we surround him with? If DJ's the guy, who do we surround him with? I'll be honest, the specific names get kind of hard, but here's what I'd say for Trey Young. It's Trey. You need a number two guard that can defend his ass off and make some jumpers. Fingers crossed, that's Kobe Bufkin. Maybe it's Stephon Castle if Stephon Castle figures out the jump shot. Maybe you even get an only defense guy. Maybe you get like a Gary Harris type. I don't know. Small forward. You need a big body, small forward. Ideally, one that's a little more competent with the ball in their hands than DeAndre Hunter. But the DeAndre Hunter mold made sense next to Trae Young. He's just not quite all there as a player. Power forward, Jalen Johnson. And center, I mean, is it cheese to say Wembanyama? Like, oh, just get the best center prospect ever. But, you know, a rim protector that is not useless on that is not useless on offense is the baseline for sure.
Can catch lobs for my enjoyment.
There you go. I mean it's hard to give specific names because it's tough, but I feel like if you worry about the archetypes around these guys for sure more than the names. And then if DeJounte's the guy, who do we surround him with? I'd say you have to focus on guys that are flexible and better playmakers, like more guys that are more willing passers. Like you would want to get like a Denny Avdija at small forward, if we had DJ starting, I think would be a really good like small forward because he's a willing passer. He's gotten better defensively. He can shoot a little bit, but with DeJounte, I think you'd have to maximize playmaking throughout 1 through 4 basically and shooting. Obviously, Jalen Johnson there at the 4. The 2, I think you'd have to prioritize shooting at the 2 guard if DeJounte is the guy you're building around. The small forward is like the same for everybody. Get somebody that can play defense and is good on offense. Like
it's a 3-and-D wings league, man.
Just get Jalen Williams. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe his brother's as good. Who knows? But that's a tough question. That's what Landry Fields has to answer. So I'm kind of glad I don't have his job, to be quite honest, Jackson.
I'll go rapid fire. Trae Young, you want a 3-and-D defender, either the 2 of the 3, and then not the 2 of the 3 either. You can choose one. You want a point of attack defender. At the power forward, you want a secondary creator, Jalen Johnson.
You want Jalen Johnson.
And at the 5, you want a main rim protector who can also roll to the rim. And yeah, hopefully you can, do some more on offense. Not a full on Clint Capella, but I mean, if you're getting 2021 Clint Capella, you take that. And then with DJ, it's a bit more out there because obviously DJ's defense is better than Trae's. I would say you want a secondary creator, like a true secondary off-ball creator, not two on-ball guards who you hope will eventually do it, like a legit off-ball secondary creator, a few guys. You want a 3-and-D wing, and then obviously Jalen Johnson at the 4. I'm just being honest. And then at the 5, I think it's kind of the same answer as the Trae Young question.
I'm hearing you're a Jalen Johnson fan?
Oh, absolutely. No, there's going to be some more today that show that. But, on the Trae Young side of things, a really interesting free agent this year who could probably do the second one, the point of attack defender, and shoot is DeAnthony Melton. So I'm sure we'll talk about that more as we get closer to free agency.
No, yeah, thank you for leaking the answer to the next and final mailbag question, Jackson. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
Gosh, I went into business for myself.
Yeah. But thank you, Chris Dave, for the question. A lot to think about. It stresses me out to think about it, so that'll be Landry Fields' job. I guess Hawks News, we also hired that guy.
Forgot his name.
Yeah, we hired that as an assistant GM to get... I mean, it really is kind of like when he brought in Nate McMillan to put some fire underneath LP's ass. So, interesting. Interesting to see how that'll work out. And then the final, for now, mailbag question... that we got was from Walking Bucket, who said, who should the Hawks' biggest free agent target be this summer, assuming Tony Wrestler is actually willing to open up his wallet for once?
Nick Claxton.
Good luck with that one. Nick Claxton's a great one. I pulled up the list, and I have a couple. And these are all strictly UFAs. They aren't option guys. They aren't sign-and-trade guys. They're strictly UFAs. You got Gary Trent Jr. I think he's a good bench defender. Or not Gary Trent Jr., sorry. I mean, Gary Trent Jr. would be a good bench player.
Gary Harris Jr. is who you mean, right?
That is what I meant. I meant Gary Harris Jr., who is also UFA in Orlando. It would make sense. They got to find a real guard, not, you know, have four different Jalen Suggs. And Gary Harris is a Jalen Suggs. You can honestly say that Gary Harris is the Gary Harris of Jalen Suggs, is, if you think about it. If you needed bench shooting, I guess you could do Doug McDermott or Malik Beasley, but that's not something I'm really focused on. I'm focusing on defense first, and then I'll worry about shooting. And then, like you said, D'Anthony Melton is probably going to get way more money than we can afford, because we are right at the tax line. So unless we offset some salary, probably won't be able to sign D'Anthony Melton. But he's a great defender, not a great offensive player, but I think he could get a little bit of Trey buff, and he can shoot the three. It's really the twos that he can't do. He's a 3-and-D guard. Honestly, he's kind of, I'll be honest, Jackson, D'Anthony Melton's kind of like a good outcome for a Kobe Bufkin, isn't it? Like, doesn't that seem like a kind of natural, decent comparison? So in a way, I think that kind of I don't know. I kind of like that comp. But yeah, those are some of the better free agents. Realistically, there's depth guys. You know, just use that MLE or something. Just sign a better vet man. I'm really expecting all our stuff to be done via draft and trade, not so much the free agent market. But if we do focus on free agent market, I think those are all some names to look at. You could also look at, like, you know, like, do we bring back Sadiq Bey? Do we try to bring in, like, scoring like Tobias Harris or Kelly Oubre or something, but for my money, add some veteran defense wings in free agency and work on drafting / trading for honestly, the trade goal should just be maximize value for DeJounte Murray, whether it be picks or players, just maximize the value. But yeah, that was the longest and best mailbag session we've ever had, Jackson. So we wanted to thank you all for the questions. Now we're going on to the main event for the episode, the Hawks Talks Awards Show, the 4th annual. We are going to be giving these awards out for the 2023-2024 Atlanta Hawks season. And because this is by far the most miserable season in a long time, the awards are going to be a little bit weird, which I'm excited for, because I'm glad that we're going to get some different answers than normal, Jackson. So I think we get rolling with some awards right now.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely agree with that. Logan, we're going to be presenting this first award with us. This one is a classic. We do this one every single year. It's just, it's a feel-good one. It's going to be none other than Team MVP, Logan. But this year, there seems to be some controversy about who that is. For the first time ever, Logan, we have some different candidates that aren't Trae Young, but I'm curious where you're going to go.
It's DeJounte Murray.
Oh, you did it. I was not expecting you to.
Trae Young played like 50 games, man. And he sucked for like 15 of them. He had like a phenomenal like 30 game stretch. That don't give you MVP, man. That don't give you team MVP. I don't care. Respect to Trae Young. I still love the guy. But the team MVP for this, I mean, this breaks his streak of being the team MVP. Basically, I mean, you could argue every year since he was drafted. His rookie year, you could argue John Collins was maybe a little bit better, because that was John Collins' first like real step forward. But I feel like you have to give it to DeJounte. He played like 76 games. He had three or four game winners, which, I mean, spoiler alert, he's probably winning clutch player of the year for the Hawks for that one. Three or four game winners. He had his best offensive season of his career. Got better three-point shooting. Stayed okay playmaking. Stayed the same guy on defense, but he played more games, and he played pretty good most of the time. And he single-handedly really kept us afloat while Trae Young was hurt, so I've got to get him team MVP, if for nothing else, as a farewell gift to him, most likely leaving the Atlanta Hawks this offseason. So, yeah, my team MVP this year is DeJounte Murray.
You could also argue
Jalen Johnson. You could argue that, but my issue with Jalen Johnson is he also only played like 50-something games.
He didn't play a bunch, but quality over quantity. And I think Jalen, he took a legitimate step up. If he played the 65 games requirement, he would have got most improved player votes. It's kind of bullshit that, you know, he didn't. But I respect the rules. I expect that there's prerequisites to getting an award. I will say this, though. Jalen Johnson took a legit leap to where I thought he became our second best player this year behind only Trae Young. And I think that alone, because comparing where he was at last year to this year, I think that alone warrants him becoming, you know, he being our team MVP. Also, just a fun, entertaining player. The games are always better with JJ. You always want to watch him play. He's must-see TV, in my opinion. I'm going to refer to that later. You'll see we're on this awards list. And I don't know, man. He took such a big leap this year, and he contributed so much, and he became a legitimate long-term type of guy you build your team around. I mean, there's those rumors that the Hawks, you know, will trade anyone but Trae Young or Jalen Johnson. So I think that warrants him being my team MVP for this season. Shout out to Trae Young, who obviously didn't get named by both of us, but I mean, if he was, I mean, you know.
I know.
Nobody would complain.
The end of a streak, really, that he did not win either of our team MVP votes. And up next, we have, I legitimately don't know what we do for this award, Jackson. We have Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh.
None of them? Can I vote for none of them? Can I, like, just leave it blank?
Honestly, okay, I'm going to say it, Logan. He erased any goodwill I had for him in the playing game. DeAndre Hunter played good defense this year. All right, I'm saying the thing.
I'm doing the same thing. He didn't play enough games. I'm like trying to think.
Well, it's DeAndre Hunter. You have to keep that in the perspective. He's not, you know, he's not playing 82 a year. He'll do a job for about 50. I mean, that's all you can ask for. But in those 50 games, I thought he played the.
Dude, I honestly don't know what to do. Depoy, I'm gonna do the first ever Depoy thing, Jackson. I'm not voting for anybody. No,
he's protesting.
I'm refusing. I'm not giving any of them a pat on the back for defense. I'm not. Like, sure, some of you guys did better than expected. Trae Young had some good defensive moments. Jalen Johnson's growing as a defender. Okongwu had some good stretches. Capella had his moments. I'm not giving anyone any of an award that I feel is unearned. So I'm sorry, Depoy is getting just straight up boycotted from me for this year. Maybe, fingers crossed, I'll have an award to give out next year. But for this year, like, if Kobe Bufkin even had played like 25 games, I think I would have given it to him. But they only played the guy like 4 games, so I can't even, like, in good conscience give it to Kobe Bufkin. So just no, none of y'all get that shit. None of the coaches get it. Nobody gets it. Nobody gets Defensive Player of the Year for this Hawks team. You gave up like 400 points to the Pacers this year. No, like 600 even points to the Pacers this year. So, no, I'm not. I'm no participation Defensive Player of the Year trophy from Logie. So that's my bottom line.
I mean, hey, that's fair enough. Honestly, I can respect Lord, you not giving one.
And Lord knows this next award's a gimme.
Oh yeah, this one's easy.
Yeah,
I honestly kind of feel like we might have to rule him out for this one. I might switch it up on you the last second.
Okay, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, though. Yeah. You cannot vote Jalen Johnson for this one.
Okay, so the most improved player, it can't be Jalen Johnson. How about you go first then, Jackson?
Oh gosh, this one's so difficult. Okongwu for me personally. I mean, obviously, I was lower on Okongwu last season. If you remember, if anybody else listening remembers, I thought he took a very nice step. You know, obviously the injury stuff sucked, especially considering it was his big toe and it like held him out for like the rest of the season, starting in like what, February. But I mean, I feel like Okongwu took a big step this year towards, okay, he can be your starting five. I mean, obviously, as a player, the injury stuff are kind of fogs that, but we'll kind of have to see where that lies. But as far as like genuine like improvement, if you're not voting Jalen Johnson for this one, it's Okongwu for me, which is very promising that both of them took steps because the stats show they were very good on the court together, very productive. But yeah,
that is true. That is definitely true, and that's a good one. And I'm glad that you said it, so that way I can give a kind of stupid answer. I will go against my own logic that I've previously established with the team MVP, and you know, I'm gonna say Vete Krejci.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, you throw a curveball at me, I'll throw a slider right back, Jackson. Vete Krejci went from, you know, probably like going overseas to Europe, or maybe he's just stuck in the G League forever, to now most Hawks fans are like, please resign him, please. Please give him a multi-year deal. And he did it in the span of about 10 to 15 games. I want to give him some flowers. I'll give him a little MIP because now he feels like he's an important piece of the bench going forward. So I will give Veet Krejci some love in the award show. Cannot believe I just gave Veet Krejci an award, and Trae Young is probably not going to get an award from me this year. That is bizarre. But yeah, there you go. Shout out to Veet Krejci. I'll give him a little round of applause and everything. So yeah.
All right, Logan, I need to stop you real quick.
I believe you do.
I alluded to this earlier in the episode, Logan, but we have some special guests joining us today, man.
We sure do.
Logan, something I like to say in this life is, sometimes, Logan, you have to look for your past to live in the present and in the future. This person is very meaningful to us in terms of our past podcasting lives. Words cannot describe, you know, what he's done for both of us, what he's done for our podcasting careers. It's going to be none other than the man himself, a former member of our podcast, The One and Done, Jacob Smith. Jake, how are you, my man?
Oh, it's so weird to be back.
When was the last time you recorded a podcast?
Four score and too many years ago.
Well, hey, I just want to say, welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast, Jake. Thank you for joining us. I want to speak for me and Logan to you personally, Jake. We would not be here without you. Like, I mean, straight up, like, let's just keep it real. There's no Hawks Talks without The One and Done, the podcast we three did together. There's no One and Done without me and you. So, Jake,
I'm going to interrupt you. You don't have to blow smoke up my ass. You know, that was a team effort. That was both of us coming up with a plan, and then Logan came and saved it. So, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Well, I mean, you don't have to blow smoke up my
ass. Oh, my God. I haven't heard your voice in forever. I'm not fanboying over you right now, but holy crap.
I know, it is crazy. It is if you are in need of the audience, if you're in need of a refresher, Jake, I mean, he shouldn't need an introduction, but I'll give him one anyway. I mean, we're talking former best high school basketball player in his state. We're talking future proud leader of men and integrity. We're talking a current podcasting legend. We're talking the One and Done founder. I mean, the backbone of the One and Done podcast. I always felt that the One and Done podcast was funny pretty much through sheer effort from Jake's part, and a little bit me making fun of Jackson, but it was mostly Jake. And
it was team, guys.
Yeah, it was a team effort.
It was all team.
You know, yeah. Not too many people may have listened to the One and Done, but damn it if it didn't leave an imprint on all of our lives. And hopefully a couple people listening will remember some of the One and Done. So it was important to us.
You can still listen to it. It still exists. I mean, if you want.
It kept us together. You know, we're all still, I mean, Logan and I don't talk as much, but Jackson and I, we still talk all the time. But
that's very true.
And every day I'm just like, I asked Jackson how you're doing all the time, Logan. So, I mean, it's been.
This is an emotional scene.
It was a wild ride, and some crazy things happened, but, you know. Who knows? Maybe someday I'll come back to podcasting at some point, but
that was a long time ago. That was a wild ride. So fun. It was. Fond memories.
Was. Yeah. I do want to say one thing, Jake, though.
2020.
What's up?
Well, what's going on with the Suns, man? I mean, if you listen to the podcast, everyone knows you're a Suns fan. What's going on with the Suns? Let's hear it. We talked about the Hawks all episode. You're going to be presenting an award for the Hawks. That's what you're here to do. But firstly, let's talk about the Suns for a minute, man. What's going on? What's the future of the Suns in your opinion?
So it goes back to the beginning of the season when we hired Frank Vogel. I've had an issue. I think in the One and Done, I actually said that Frank Vogel was washed. He wasn't a good coach. I like his defensive outlook on things, how they're going to fight. We're going to get India. But with the roster that he has, we don't have a lot of defensive dogs. We have Kevin Durant, who's weak. Like, that guy, mentally weak. Burner accounts don't have to... I don't have to go back down the long list of burner accounts and being weak on social media, but mentally we're just not a tough team. Durant doesn't portray toughness. Booker, I'm glad he stuck with us. I'm afraid he's going to leave at some point because just we keep doing things like this. And pertaining to the award, I did a lot of research to this award, and it brought up some times that I was like, wow, the Suns could have done a lot of different things back in these times to set us up better.
What about Bill? And he's like the worst contract in the league.
I don't want to talk about Bradley Beal. All right. I overhyped that guy. I overhyped that guy so hard when that trade happened. You were there for that. When I was like, we are going to win the title. We are so good. And then Bradley Beal comes in with his body of an 80-year-old and effort of a 60-year-old. It's pretty great. I'm a hockey fan now because of the Suns' performance.
He switched sports. He changed teams.
So, yeah.
I have a feeling our second guest probably has the same story. Just transitioning to being a hockey fan.
But right, hockey's way better.
Jake is not just here to run down memory lane. He's here for to present an award.
He's here for business, man.
Yeah, he's on business. So the award is the most disappointing player of the Hawks this year. Jake, you have the floor.
Okay. Like I said, I did a lot of research on this. And this isn't just, I think this is the most disappointing player of the past few seasons from the little bit of Hawks games that I've watched. But my vote and getting the grand award of most disappointing, LOL, it's ironic that I've got this one because I think I was the most disappointing in the last podcast. But I gave it to Onyeka Okongwu.
Oh!
Wow.
So, Onyeka Okongwu. First off, he averaged 10 points this season, 6 rebounds, 1 assist. Field goal percentage looked pretty good at 61%, okay? But, my big problem is he was drafted in 2020 at 6. He's been here for 4 years. He hasn't had a season averaging over 11, I think, for his career. He's averaging like 8.5, and that is not a lottery pick average for 4 years. You guys remember who was drafted in 2020 number 1?
A lot of good players, man.
James Wiseman.
No, number 1 was Anthony Edwards. James Wiseman was 2, and that's another bust that I've got to live with in my backpack. Just a lot of baggage that I have from the one and done. But no, I think Onyeka Okongwu, for being a number 6 pick in 2020, he has not lived up to the expectations, like, at all. The Hawks had kind of underachieved this year. Like, when we first talked about this, I talked a lot about, like, if I got an award for, like, a positive thing, I was always going to give it to DeJounte Murray because I like how hard he plays basketball, his defense. But when you look at their downfalls, I think drafting Onyeka Okongwu was, like, a major fault.
I want to give you some credit, Jake. Just so you know that we're on the same wavelength, I gave DeJounte team MVP. So, you know
what I'm saying. Thank you. That's awesome. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I like going back to 2020 and looking at who was drafted after him.
Some good players.
And the Kings drafted Tyrese Halliburton, fell to 12. Now, the Suns could have picked him at 10. But this is a Hawks podcast. But if they would have picked even, this is going to sound horrible, Isaiah Stewart.
Oh.
Isaiah Stewart would have produced more than him. Precious Achiuwa would have produced more than a Yekko.
All right. He's trolling. He's trolling.
He's an old-timey center that can't shoot. And if you guys would have had a big man that could shoot a little bit, you guys would have won over 500. You've been an over 500 team. All right.
I will say, Jake, to your credit, Okongwu, like, I like the guy. I like him as a player. He hasn't been able to beat Capella out in a starting spot 4 years now, and he's been injured a lot. Mm-hmm. So I don't agree with you, but I do understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I will say, sorry to cut you off, Jake.
You're good. You're good.
I will say, since you are not a Hawks fan, I fully understand why you think these things. Like, obviously, as Hawks people, I like, part of me is like, no, but you don't understand, but you're keeping it real. You're like, look, you took this guy 6th. He don't even start for you. So, you know what? You have a point. You have a very valid point. Now, I don't agree about Precious Achiuwa, but whatever, you know?
That was probably a stretch. I was the hot take
Devin
guy.
Vassell. How about Devin Vassell? There you go.
Okay. No,
we could have taken Devin Vassell over him, for sure.
But if you look at, fun fact, by the way, I'm actually a huge Clint Capella fan. When I watched the Hawks, I love Clint Capella. Just the amount of, like, it seems like every game I watch, he shoots almost like 90%. Like, he doesn't miss a shot. He either dunks the ball, grabs a rebound, and just blocks a crap ton of shots. He's intense. He works hard. But I will say it was really close on giving it to Capella for most disappointing. But he averaged a double-double. And I was like, well, they got him from Houston. He's been there a little bit longer. He's a little bit older. Averaged the double-double. He does start, yes. But as a 6th overall pick, Onyeka Okongwu was like, I thought he was a no-brainer.
I really like your choice. I don't even necessarily agree with it, but I really like your choice. I'll be honest.
Well, thank you.
It's good content. Because you make great points. I think this is why I was excited to have a non-Hawks fan do this one, because I was like, I don't know where he's going to go. I was like, I hope he doesn't say Trey, because I feel like that'll be a little boring.
You guys know my Trey hate, but Trey Young did average 25 this year and average 10.5 assists. And if I hopped on here and I was doing team MVP, I probably would have given it to him, which is crazy for me to say, but
there you have it. So the Capella thing, it's interesting because like Capella, honestly, hate the guy. Mm-hmm. Just terrible. Just hate him. I don't know how you've seen games where he was scoring efficiently, but you found the diamond in the rough with those games. Cause he I mean,
living in Alaska, how many Hawks games do you think I've
watched?
That is fair.
Yeah. I'm a guess. You watched two games against the Celtics last year. I'm a guess.
Yep. Probably.
I'm a guess. Maybe you watched one or two games against the Heat the year past. You're not like me and Jackson. You got a little bit more of a big boy job, big boy responsibilities. You can't be watching these mediocre.
You would be surprised. I get really bored on night shift sometimes and watch all the day's highlights. And yeah, I've seen some Hawks things every now and again, but it is what it is.
The only reason why I don't think Clint Capella is that disappointing, because I just expect him to be this level of terrible.
How bad is his contract?
It's over after next year.
Okay. So that's good.
Yeah, one more year, but it's 20 a year. It's 20. Yeah,
so. That's pretty bad for what his performance is. Before I go, who is your guys' most disappointing? Because you guys are Hawks guys, so you have watched more Hawks basketball, and you kind of get it a little bit more.
You know, I got a weird pick, and I'll just say my piece, and then Jackson, he has the free range, but I feel like Sadiq Bey really disappointed me this year. He went on a terrible, like, Trae Young could have been better, DeJounte. The issue with Trae and DeJounte is individual, neither of them were disappointing, it just doesn't work together.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter wasn't disappointing, because I don't expect much from him. Jalen Johnson is the only love of my life at this point. We already touched on the center, so for me, and like, Bogey was great, so for me, it's like, it's got to be Sadiq Bay, because we got him to be like an offensive shooter and rebounder type guy, and the guy shot legitimately 20% from three for like 2 months in a row, and it's like, dude, and it was a contract year for him, and it's like, dude, you shit the bed, Sadiq, like, and then he tore his ACL, the poor guy, so you know, but
we don't wish ill will, but you know,
it's just tough to see. He'll still get his money, but you know, hate to see it, as they say. Jackson, who is your most disappointing?
AJ Griffin. Player? I was expecting a leap this year, and I know it wasn't. I know it wasn't all his fault. I know he probably could have played more, but this was supposed to be a leap year. I'm saying it. I've said it 100 times before. I'll say it 100 times more until we finish this damn podcast. He was on the all-rookie team. He was on the All-Star Weekend rookie team last year. This season, you barely saw the guy. Obviously, went through some personal stuff. I'm not dragging him through that. Obviously, respecting this, take time away from basketball. But when he was with the team, man, I expected to see a leap this year. I expected to see more productive. I expected him to keep on developing. Last year, Logan, around this time, we were talking about him as a future caller of the future like we would a Jalen Johnson. This year, we're talking about this guy in trade talks. I mean, you really have to do something as a young player to go from that to that in a span of a year. So, yeah, for me as AJ Griffin, I expected a leap. I expected more development. And this year, I just came away with more disappointment and questions than anything else. That's why he's my disappointing player.
I don't think this is talked about enough. But recently, the product coming out of Duke University as a Duke fan in the NBA has been lackluster. I'm just saying. AJ Griffin's a Duke boy. Horrible. No offense. Horrible.
It's definitely not what it used to be. Because, you know, you get some good players. You get some Jalen Johnsons. You got some guys in this draft. But, I mean...
But
it's just like, it's Paolo and it's a bunch of guys after that, you know? It's Paolo.
Zion, I think guys. Zion's overrated. He can't stay healthy. He can't keep his weight
down.
That's
just an objective truth.
Yeah, he's overrated. Paolo's going to be really good. If he can stay healthy and keep playing, he's going to be very good. But, yeah, Duke's product is looking a little lackluster. So, I mean, when AJ came out, that's kind of what I expected. Like, he went to the Hawks and I was like, great, he's not going to be very good. Like, he doesn't have that.
And it's crazy because he was quite good his rookie year, and he was terrible this past year.
He was like, cheap.
Even when he played, and he didn't play often, he looked terrible. When he played his rookie year, it was like, holy crap, a 19-year-old is doing this? Yeah. No, not anymore. Now it's like...
Yeah. Get rid of him.
What will the Wizards send us for him? How many second-round picks?
Yeah, well, I mean, fantastic.
We might need Jake to come in as our Duke consultation guy, Jackson.
Tons of Duke players, and only Jalen Johnson's good from memory. So maybe the Hawks just need to hire this guy. Should we take this guy from Duke? No. All right then.
If I'm ever invited back, I'll give you my total breakdown of Duke basketball and how we are right now. But
Jake's just like pounding the table. Do not draft Jared McClain. Do not do it.
Don't. Oh my God. Stay away from a bunch of Duke guys, please. Stay away from all of them. One of them's a TikTok star, I guess. And I was watching. I saw his TikTok. I'm like, this is awful. This is why we suck at basketball. This is why we're not winning when it matters. So, Hawks podcast.
Hey, we had a whole 15-minute break to talk about Quick Trip food, so it's really no.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, you'll have to wait to hear it till it comes out. But
I will wait. Well, heck yeah, guys.
He will be there no matter what.
I will. I will listen. I'm not going to say I'm a diehard Hawks Talks fan because I'm not a Hawks fan, but I like to listen sometimes when I long for Logan's voice.
Okay.
Oh, man. This has been a treat.
I hear Fantastic. That more than you might think. I hear that more than you might
think. I bet. You could probably talk me to sleep. I have sleep issues. I'd probably fall asleep to your subtle, soft voice.
Do you think I need to look into that? Like, there's got to be money in that.
You make money. You make bank.
Hawks on ASMR break-off channel is coming soon, guys.
I'm going to Fiverr. I'm going to Fiverr.
Oh, my goodness. Are phone sex operators still
okay? Okay, all right. Well, Jake, thank you for coming on the podcast. It was good to talk to you, man.
Thank you, guys.
Jake, before you go, I'll give you the floor to say anything you want to. But before you go, I just want to say thank you for coming on. Thank you for helping us in our podcasting journey. Everybody, give Jake a round of applause. Thank you, Jake. Very, very deserved. Jake, you have the floor. Say anything you want before you go.
This is kind of an old toad joke, but the only dating that Clint Capella is doing is carbon dating.
Let's go.
LOL.
Let's
go. I'm a nerd.
Let's go.
I'm out, boys. Let's Have a good go. One.
Thank you, Jake.
Yep, oh, my God. What a banger. Oh.
Absolute banger. Thank you to Jake for coming on, everyone. I mean, he took time out of his day to do that.
I don't know if that could have been any better.
That went spectacularly. That went great.
I think he may be taking my job soon.
It wouldn't surprise me if Logan sacks me from the podcast, frankly.
But no. If anyone's getting sacked, brother, it's going to be me. Dude, I had forgotten the Clint Capella carbon dating joke. That was a good one. Like, there's a lot of banger, the one and done jokes. That one I had forgotten about.
We've used a few of them today. All right, look, let's keep going on with the award show. The red carpet is still rolled out. The Hawks talk trains. Nobody stops it, frankly. All right, we're going to be talking about, this one's a bit tongue-in-cheek just because of stuff we talked about earlier with Quinn Snyder. But Logan, in every NBA team, youth is oftentimes considered the future. Who's your Young Player of the Year award?
Jesus. let's see. So it doesn't have to be rookie, correct?
No, it doesn't have to be rookie. You can choose any young player on the Hawks except for Jalen Johnson. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah. So we'll say first contract guy, because like Trey's still young, but I'm not counting him. it'd be funny if I said a Kongu. Jeez, man. I think by process of elimination, I'm gonna have to say a Kongu. You're looking at last year on the rookie deal. I think he played pretty well. Jake didn't like it, and I understand what Jake's coming from. But I think when a Kongu did play, I saw the potential. We can't say Jalen Johnson. Kobe Bufkin didn't get enough opportunity. I've already said Vic Krejci. Adrian Griffin had a terrible year. Muhammad Gay, I'm excited about, but he didn't show anything. So I feel like my process of elimination, I have got to give Onyeka Okongwu a little bit of love. I'll give him a little bit of love because, you know, the ego may be hurting after Jake came in and eviscerated him. Went into business. So I'll give some love to Okongwu, actually. Yeah, that's what I'll go with.
I would go with Kobe Bufkin. I know we all probably didn't see him as much as we wanted to this season, you know, between him just not playing and also him being injured for a stretch during the season. But what we did see from Kobe Bufkin was very encouraging. He developed down in the G League to become more of a ball handler, on-ball guard who can play make, create for himself and others, which was a big thing coming out of college. He continued to show off his off-ball prowess, which is a thing that he was touted out coming out of the draft. the rim numbers improved, Logan, from Summer League. I remember that was a big concern after Summer League was, well, he shot terrible at the rim. That improved down the G League and in the NBA. And, yeah, I mean, I just feel like and the biggest thing for Kobe Bufkin, he's probably the Hawks' best point of attack defender on the team, and he's a rookie, which both speaks volumes about him and the Hawks themselves. But, yeah, I think it's pretty easily Kobe Bufkin to me. I know he's a rookie. If we decided not to do a Rookie of the Year award traditional type thing, but, yeah, I did absolutely want to say that, Kobe Bufkin's going to be my young player of the year. I feel like what we saw from him is very encouraging, very exciting going forward. And I think, legitimately, Logan, he's a rotation player next year.
Yeah, oh, he has to be.
Like, it's just, I don't know, man. Very impressive, Kobe Bufkin. Thank you, Kobe.
yeah, I like it. I just, he just didn't play enough for me to give him that. He really didn't, in my mind.
I mean, a reoccurring theme throughout the Civil War, and to show how injured the Hawks were, was about every war we said, well, he didn't play enough games, in my opinion. But, hey, I mean, I guess that's unfortunately how things go. But, yeah, all right, Logan, we're going to be moving on now, all right, to most underrated player of the year. Now, this player is the one who you thought, you know, can be hated and you thought was good, or was just underrated by the media, was underrated by fellow Hawks fans. Who's that for you?
Underrated player of the year, man. Underrated player.
If you want me to go first, I can, because I have some business to go into for myself. I really am.
I think you should.
I'm going to be targeting the national media with this one, man. I'm going straight after them. Sixth Man of the Year award was voted on. Congratulations to Naj Reid. I thought either him or Malik Monk were choices. A guy who did not get enough votes was our very own Bogdan Bogdanovic. Now, I'm shooting against the national media. He should have got more votes for that. I'm about to shoot against our fan base, Logan. Frankly, a lot of people, when Bogdan was extended last offseason, were legitimately upset about that, Logan. Am I correct? Logan, can you verify?
Oh, they sure were, Jackson.
And Bogdan had a fantastic year. He played a ton of games. It didn't look like he slowed down. He played all the way from game one. He didn't have many spells of injury. He played all the way from game one until the play-in loss. He looked good in everything. He was, once again, he showed why he has one of the prettiest shots. He made shots. He played defense, you know, at a level that is respectable for 31-year-old Bogdan Bogdanovic. I don't feel like Bogdan got enough love from the national media who votes on awards, but also I just don't think our fan base really wrote him off after last year after that extension, and he came back with a fire under his ass, frankly, and I thought he was fantastic this year. I mean, if you can get Bogey like this on a good team, you will do some goddamn damage. So you know what? Shout out to Bogey. I thought he was incredibly underrated this year by almost everyone. You know, I feel like as the season went on, Hawks fans acknowledged him more, but not enough.
Most games played in a single season in his career. Most three-pointers made in a single season in Hawks franchise history. You're looking at 92% from the free throw line. Most assists as a Hawk, I believe. Total assists, yeah. A little bit of steals. He had a good number of steals. Career high in steals per game, so career high in steals. Almost 100 steals on the year. By far set a career high in total scoring. 16-point. I mean, you're looking at a 17-point-a-game guy. Shooting, you know, 38% on high volume, difficult threes. He deserves love. I think Hawks fans pretty much universally love him at this point. Bogey is very necessary for the team going forward. My underrated player, this might be a little corny, Jackson. I'm going Trae Young. People act like he is. We all know it. We all know exactly what I mean. But, you know, ask the Ringer about Trae Young. They'll tell you he's like a terrorist and the worst player of all time and a chucker and he only passes for assists. Ask a normal person with normal eyes what the guy in number 11 on the red team is doing. They'd all say he's incredible and runs the offense and is the only reason why that red team is good. And they would be much closer to being correct than the guys on the Ringer are. So, you know, had to scratch and fight to get in and be a freaking all-star. It took injuries for him to be an all-star, averaging 26-10. It's ridiculous. He's not even gonna get, well, he didn't reach the number of games to get all NBA team, but he wouldn't even come close. He had to basically beg to get a free. He didn't beg, but we had to beg for him to get an All-Star game.
We did his bidding for him.
Yeah, and the truth is, he is a special player who gets treated like he's marginally above average because for whatever reason, like. Agendas just never change. He is a much better defender than he once was. He's the best playmaker in the league. I am not impressed by Tyrese Halliburton's bump ahead passes in transition. Jokic is a one of one first ring Hall of Fame level player, but I think Trey's a better playmaker. I think Jokic maybe does more incredible stuff, but it's really just because he's so big that, you know, wow, a center's passing. But Trae Young runs the pick and roll like James Naismith could have only dreamed. I highly doubt James Naismith invented the pick and roll, but whoever invented the pick and roll, they were envisioning Trae Young when they were thinking it up. So I wanted to give Trey some love because it was probably the most miserable season of his career. He had his first real injury. He had his first real bout with just terrible expectations. The guy that he gets needlessly compared to, Luka Doncic, is nearly going to win MVP. I don't think he is, but he's going to come close. And plus, they're in the playoffs. And plus, Trey missed the playoffs for the first time in 3 years. So, tough season for Trae Young, but I wanted to give him some flowers because he is still extremely good, even though, you know, the quote-unquote media acts like he is trash, which he is not. So, wanted to give Trae Young some love.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very fair to... Trae Young's just perennially underrated at this point. Like, no matter what happens or what does or doesn't get said, I mean, it's just going to happen. But, Logan... At the beginning of the episode, we have two more awards to give out, Logan. All right. At the beginning of the episode, I said that these people were going to get two damn special guests, Logan. We have another one just for the fans out there. I told you this was going to be the biggest, the baddest episode of Hawks Talks. But Logan, I think sometimes in life, we obviously look to our past earlier. But look, man, I think it's safe to say, Logan, that we wouldn't have made it this far without help from others. Me and you, we do a lot. But without some special people chipping in along the way, the Hawks Talk podcast would not be what it is. The Hawks Talks podcast, frankly, isn't the people. It isn't what it is without the people in our community. Straight up, like it. Whether you're a fan, whether you're someone who's helped out with the podcast, whether you're a patron, as long as you're a part of the Hawks Talks community, you've really made and blossomed this into something special. So I just want to take this second to say this next person is coming on. And look, Logan, it's hard to imagine us being where we're at now without him here, frankly. So I just want to say, welcome to the podcast, Darian. You're back. You're a reoccurring guest in the Hawks Talks podcast. But Darian, what's up, my man?
What's up?
A lot of people do not know this, and if this is your first time listening, me and Darian are related. We're brothers. Many podcasts have been recorded at your house. I remember there have been times where I've been there for the trade deadline and stuff. Every time I've asked, hey, can I use your setup? Can I use your computer? Can I use your mic? Whatever, whatever, whatever. You've always said yes, so just a big thank you, Darian. It's hard to imagine the Hawks podcast without you, but how are you? Thoughts on the Hawks? Let's just start there.
Super disappointing, as always. Life is pain. There's no good in life without good Hawks.
I think that's a reoccurring theme for me, Logan, you. I mean, pretty much everyone is a Hawks fan. But I will say, luckily, the NHL playoffs are good and the Braves are good. So, I mean, it's not all bad in the sports world for you. Oh, and hey, I'm going to say it, Logan. 2023 Gasparilla Bowl champions. I mean, come on, people. Come,
there you go.
Round of applause.
On the TV. You know, excellent high five. If you know, you know.
Look, 2023 Gasparilla Bowl champions, Atlanta, 2027 quarterback.
Okay, here we go.
Just got drafted. You know, it's looking up for Atlanta. But yeah, obviously, Darian, we're very fortunate to have him take time out of his day to join us. Here at the Hawks Talks podcast, we clearly do not condone nepotism. But I do think it is important to roll out the red carpet because, you know, Darian's a storied guest in this podcast history. He, of course, was the subject of the haunting Lost episode, Lost Media.
Was an 145-minute episode, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, we got like two or three Lost Hawks Talks episodes out there. It's pretty bad.
But even, you like know. He also has
Alexandria burning down.
He also has some that are not lost. So if you want to listen to those, you're going to have to subscribe to the Patreon. Give us a couple bucks and you'll be able to listen to Darian and Jackson shoot the shit. Meanwhile, I was busy, so I couldn't record. So I personally have to also thank Darian because he has stepped in for me at least once, probably more like three or four times that he's been able to step in for me and record for me. So thank you, Darian. And I don't know. Is there before we get to you presenting an award, Darian? Is there anything you feel that you just have to let the public know?
There's a mailbag question as well.
Yeah, you also have a mailbag question you asked us. I want you to ask that on air. But really, the red carpet's yours to do whatever you want with.
You know, I'm truly honored. You know, I've always thought of us as the Redmond brothers triumvirate. You know, Logan's honorary, absolutely. No, I mean, this is awesome. Y'all do a great podcast. It's literally part of my Monday morning routine during the week when y'all upload to listen to it on the way to work and stuff. It's quite nice. Yeah, I mean, this is super exciting. I'm, you know, really happy for y'all to hit 200 and, you know, here's to 2,000 more.
2,000? Jeez! You want to be working slave hours on this thing?
This is a storied franchise. This is up there with the Yankees and, you know, the New York Rangers in terms of iconic franchises. Hawks Talks, Oilers, Hawks Talks again.
St. Louis Cardinals.
There we go.
Welcome to episode 1984 of the Hawks Talks podcast. We'll be discussing, is Trae Young bad on defense and will Tony Ressler go into the tax? All right.
We're on pace to reach that many episodes in about 25 years. So
yeah,
y'all got it.
All right, Darren, let's discuss your mailbag question. We wanted to save it for now when you're with us so you could discuss it with us as well. I thought it was a super interesting. Whenever you asked on Twitter, it was one thing that ran through my head for a couple of days. But your mailbag question was, realistically, what do you the Hawks look like in 5 years? I'm going to spin this one on its head, though, and I'm going to throw it back to you. What do you think the Hawks look like in 5 years?
So I think, like, honestly, the easiest way to kind of take this question is you have to be of two minds. You either think Trae Young will be here in 5 years or you do not think Trae Young will be here in 5 years. I think obviously that's kind of the linchpin of the organization, of the whole franchise, of basketball in Atlanta in general. So there's that's kind of, you know, it's a big demarcation point in your opinion on what the Hawks look like in 5 years. To me, you know, I like to think Trae Young is still around and, you know, the high optimism percent chance of, you know, title, you know, finals back in Atlanta, you know, obviously. But honestly, you know, I would hope in 5 years we'd have some good, you know, some more good deep playoff runs with Trae Young and the Hawks. You know, I'd like to see Jalen Johnson come along and, you know, really reach his potential, which I think is, you know, maybe top 10 player in the East. I think he could hit that. And, you know, I would like to see things go right for the Hawks because, I mean, I get flack on here and, you know, other places for being the 60 win Hawks guy. But like that team back then was like, it was a special team. It was special. They were special. And it's like, not that the Trae Young Hawks are not that fun because Eastern Conference run was even better than anything those Hawks did, really. I mean, honestly, and they're a better team. You know, I want the Hawks to be fun like that again. I want that energy back because I've lost it over the past few years. I won't lie.
He's lost it. I don't... You're completely correct in that it literally just is a question of Trae Young being here or not. And if you were to honestly ask me, I would say I'm not sure he's here in 5 years, but for the sake of posterity, I will assume he is here in 5 years. I made a joke that they'd be in Winnipeg, but
yeah,
they are locked into Atlanta for several more decades, which is good. We didn't need to lose another team. I think in 5 years, I'll just say we have Trae Young, but we're still trying to figure things out. It's hard to envision. This sounds kind of pathetic, but it's hard to envision a world in which the Hawks are actually like climbing the mountaintop because it just doesn't happen to us. Like Atlanta, we get Georgia football and we get the Braves, and that's what you get. You know, it's hard to imagine, really becoming one of those top tier organizations in the NBA with the owner situation we have. It's crazy too, because like, normal teams, it's like, oh man, if we can just get a rich hedge fund owner to buy the team, we'll be so good. And we're like, we need a rich hedge fund owner to get the fuck out of here. Like, we need him to sell the team immediately, otherwise we're done. So it's I don't know what to do, man. But in 5 years, you know, I think we'll be looking for more answers, Darian. I think we'll still be looking for answers in 5 years. I'll be honest.
The Hawks figuring it out with Trae Young and the Falcons drafting a defensive lineman who knows how to rush the quarterback are things that just cannot exist in our timeline and plane of existence.
Things that haven't happened since the Obama administration.
There we go. Yeah,
pretty much.
We miss you, John Abraham. I would say I would take the question as in 5 years. I think in 5 years, Trae Young will be how old, guys? Like almost 30, 30, either 30 31? Or 30? 31. I think by then, either the Hawks will, on one end, if they do blow stuff up before then, because they will have their picks in 5 years, which is important to realize. It'll be 2029. They'll have 2 years of having their picks. I think the Hawks will either be just reaching the middle of a rebuild, like a complete teardown type rebuild, or if they keep Trae Young, I think the Trae Young era will be ending because another player, a wink wink on who it is, will be taking over and he'll become the Hawks' best player. And the Trae Young era, which lasted, I mean, if this isn't 5 years, 11 years, that's pretty damn good. I think in 5 years, I think either Jalen Johnson is taking over as the clear-cut Hawks' best player because he's in his prime, he's doing his thing, or I think the Hawks will be in the middle of a rebuild. So it really is, you know, it comes back to what you said, like the linchpin. It's, hey, either Trae Young is here and we're still, you know, winning games, whatever level that's at, or we're rebuilding straight up, so.
Yeah, it's a super interesting, you know, kind of quirk of the NBA where one guy can mean so much to like the next 5 years. Like, obviously with baseball and, you know, even football to some extent, that's a little bit harder because of the injuries. But
yeah,
it's
like in football, you can't just have one good quarterback. You have to have two.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All teams know that. That's the new meta in the NFL. Don't worry. We believe. But no, but for real, with the NBA, it's just so crazy how it's hard to project out just due to how, you know, individually superstar focused the team sport seems to be. It's just an interesting little quirk of the NBA and how like planning has to go on there.
And Lord knows we have an unexperienced front office leading us through this weird situation, so that's good. Darren, are we ready for you to present the award? Because I'm actually going to pivot, Jackson. I think Darren needs to present the award for the best game/moment from the Hawks season this year. Darren, if you don't feel comfortable answering this because you feel like you can't remember or you haven't watched enough Hawks, feel free to let us know. But I do want you to present the award for the best game/moment of the season for the Atlanta Hawks.
Ooh, this one will be tough because my Hawks viewing is mostly relegated to seeing y'all and like Brad Rowland tweet on Twitter.
There you go.
Tweet on Twitter. Yeah, there we go. Honestly, I think the one moment that does stick out in my mind, and I'm going to be super vague on this because I don't remember all the details, it's just, and it kind of goes back to, I think, kind of the original award, just the multiple DeJounte, like, yep, fourth quarter explosions. I know he had a game winner, you know, I can't remember what game, you know, judge me if you want, go ahead. But,
he had like,
you know,
two
those,
against the Magic, one against the Heat, guy hates Florida,
yeah. Yeah, dude, absolutely. Damn. Orlando and Miami, terrible cities. Tampa, excellent city. That's the ranking. But no, I mean, I think for me, the moments that stand out is just somebody who follows the Hawks probably a little bit more casually. It's just those, you know, DeJounte final moments that, you know, you see posted up on Twitter for the next couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like those are a great answer because there's so many of them. Like, DeJounte was really clutch this season. Like, I'm surprised he didn't get any votes in, like, the official Clutch Player of the Year award voting that the NBA does, but.
And that's sort of why I pivoted with the question is because, like, I felt that answered the Clutch Player of the Year question. You know what I mean? So I was like, why don't we just give him the runway to choose his favorite moment of the season? Because Lord knows there have not been many great moments this year.
I was definitely going to choose Trent Forrest for the Clutch Player of the Year. So I am glad we pivoted. I figured I'd get some heat for that one.
I think if you mention Trent Forrest's name, some Hawks fans will actually, like, DDoS you or something.
Oh God.
Yeah. So
turn on the network protection.
Better knock on wood there, buddy. But Jackson might be included because I know that man did not like Trent Forrest.
Him playing over Kobe Bufkin was literally some of the worst stuff that's happened to me ever.
Modern day basketball terrorism.
Really? For my, you know, best Hawks moment, I'm going with a moment. I'm not even going with a game. These losers don't deserve a game, frankly. When you're 12 games under, even winning half your games, no games are going to be mentioned. It's the goddamn Jalen Johnson dunk over Austin Reeves. He posterized man. In that LA, a lot of people were probably
checking. In front of the host?
In front of the hose, Logan. The bad LA bitches were on the sideline watching. And listen, man, I just need to say, whenever you put your balls in someone's face like that, on the Lakers, on national, it wasn't on national TV. Listen, it's the Lakers. It'll be on the national TV for sure eventually later. I just want to say, I know a lot of people were probably asleep because those games on the West Coast come on about 10:30. But hey, man, if you saw it and if you know, you know. I think we ended up losing that game by 40, by the way. But that's besides what. Hey, look, man, 40-point losses are typical throughout the year to any team. Good dunks live forever.
Actual best moment of the year was like game six when everybody was not hurt and they were like 4-2 and we're like, yeah.
We're doing a title charge.
This is it. This is it. And we're like top 4 seed in the East. And then everybody gets hurt in December because, you know, Christmas, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. The Christmas curse is weird. But I was thinking about that. I was like, I've tweeted about it. We had an early season game against the Pelicans. The Pelicans are a good team. They're in the playoffs right now. And we beat them by like 15 or 20, and we were like 5-2 or something. And I was like, I'm feeling good about the season, man. It's literally been nothing but down. That is this season's version of the... Actually, what is the season's version of the Rockets game? I remember there was something.
Too many to count, honestly.
Yeah. I almost blew that game to the Spurs. That would have been a huge one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this season, the Hawks just kind of withered and died on the vine. There wasn't even, like, a great implosion. Like, it was just all the injuries, like Jalen going down, the whole back end of the season with the ankle thing. Trey obviously having his, like, first, like, major injury of his career. Like, it's a tough season. Y'all have stuck around commendably.
So we didn't podcast for 4 weeks one time. That didn't happen, by the way. Please don't look at that.
I do have one question for Darren before we sort of let him have the mic and he can bow out. But you were not here to listen, but Jake gave Onyeka Okongwu the most disappointing player of the year award. Darian, what would your choice for most disappointing player of the year be?
You can also
choose coach, GM, or owner.
Super tough. I mean, I feel like the Hawks issues stem from so many different players. And I think like the owner is an easy one. The GM, probably an easy one. The coach is an easy one. I kind of do like the Onyeka choice for most disappointing player because it definitely, after the contract and all that, was like he was primed to kind of take that next step. Honestly, I don't know. I have like a three-way tie with like Trey and DeJounte for not figuring it out. And then, Clint is just old and he can't make layups, which is just a baffling issue for a basketball player to have. Let's go with Clint. Let's just add on to the hate. Let's go with Clint.
Hell yeah. It was only fair because I honestly didn't hate on Clint Capella enough this episode. So
there we go.
I'm glad somebody was able to.
Like Mario Nor Rivera, the bullpen, the Clint Capella hate found its way.
I know that's not Rivera's walkout song, but still.
Jackson's grabbing the sixth string to play Enter Sandman as we speak.
Dunna. Dunna.
Yeah. Oh.
Jackson Guitar Podcast?
All right, Darian, before we let you go, we did this with Jake. It's only fair we do it to you too. I first want to say thank you for coming on, taking time out of your day to join us. Thank you for all the help over the span of the 200 episodes we've done, We're a community here. You're a big part of it. I do want to say, though, here's the floor. You have it to yourself. You can say whatever within reason. Please remember this is a PG-13 podcast. Don't go into business for yourself. And the floor is yours before you bow out and we finish this bad boy up.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, congrats to y'all. It's a great podcast. It's a great experience. I feel like you really capture something that, other sports podcasts can fail to really capture when you're focusing solely on a team. I feel like y'all can be, removed from the fan angle, but then at the end of the day you are fans. You don't have to abide by the idea that you're solely there for basketball judgment, which is super, I think it's fun. I think a lot of people who start a podcast focused on a team take it super duper seriously, where they're like, okay, we're trying to be unbiased as possible. But y'all can be unbiased, but then you let it shine and you let people remember that you had the Josh Childress poster on the wall in third grade. Like, that's an important part of being a fan. If this is it, I'm just going to say, subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/HawksTalks. I hope that's right. Oh God. But yeah, I mean, y'all just keep cooking, great podcast. Love doing it with y'all. Love being on, love listening. Great job. Sweet.
Well, you heard the man. I mean, hey, you heard the
he
man.
He plugged the Patreon.
We didn't even have to do it. Our guests are doing it for us now.
Hey, respect the game, right?
Absolutely. But thank you, Darian, for coming on. You are free to exit now and go about your day. And we're going to wrap the bad boy up. So, yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Darian.
See you for dinner. Bye.
That is true. We are eating dinner together. All right, Logan, that wraps up the awards part of the show. I'm pretty sure. Man. Is that correct? I don't think we have anything else to do. I checked back.
Yeah, I would say so.
We did all the mailbag questions. We briefed you on Hawks News. We did the award show. We had two great guests come on and join us. Thank you to both of them. Logan, before we wrap this up, you have anything else you want to say to the fans, to the world, before we end episode 200 and we get back to regular scheduled programming, frankly?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, Darian pits the Patreon, so I don't have to. So You know, I'll keep it brief. I thank you all for listening throughout these 200 episodes. It's funny because it's an arbitrary number. You know, we're just humans, so we like big round numbers, but it does mean something. We've been doing this for a pretty long time. You know, 4 years is damn near a fifth of Jackson's life. Not quite, but damn near. And it's you know, right. I'm not going to say how much of my life it is because I already got damned for being old once this episode. So, but you know, it's an important part of both of our lives. I do genuinely appreciate the fact that we have people that will interact with us on Twitter or listen to us or tell us that, you know, they enjoyed listening or just, you know, we've had some people tell us like to shut the fuck up. And I'm like, this is sick. Like,
that's fair. That's fine.
It's honestly pretty cool. So I want to thank you guys. We will keep churning along. I'm hoping that the Hawks do some fun stuff so that way we are more excited for every episode, not just the special ones. But so forgive us if we were a little slow and inconsistent with the schedule. We know we are. The truth is this is a hobby for us. This is neither of our jobs. This is not even a side hustle for either of us. We
do this out of passion.
We pretty much do this for the love of the game. So I feel like y'all feel that. I feel like that's what y'all appreciate. Darren was touching on it. So truly, thank you guys for sticking with us and continuing to stick with us. We're not going anywhere except for about 2 weeks because we'll be taking a break.
Hawks Hawks has been renewed for a fifth season. This is the official announcement. Our broadcast partners at Viacom have confirmed. But yeah.
There you go. After this episode, we'll see you all in about 2 weeks for lottery. Fingers crossed we get good news. But I'm excited because the draft will be fun.
Might
this
be a live lottery reaction. I don't know. Hey, I don't know.
There you go. I'll let Jackson sort of take it away.
I did want to say one thing. I forgot this is. I want to say thank you to Ida, Hawks Beat. Ida,
oh my God,
has done a lot for us. Ida brought us onto his podcast. We did a Twitter space with him. He shouted us several times on Twitter. Shout out to Ida, who probably, and he had no reason to, just did out of the goodness out of his heart, and because he likes us, I guess, likes what we do. He gave us like our first taste of legitimacy in the podcast world, which meant a lot to me and Logan. So Ida, Hawks Beat, if you're listening, just want to say thank you. Everyone should check him out. I mean, he's shouted us out time after time again. So just a big thank you to Edub, who gave us our first like taste of legitimacy. Obviously, thank you to everyone who's listened. I said that earlier. Thank you to everyone who interacts with us. You know, we appreciate it. I did want to say thank you to everyone who reviews the podcast, gives us ratings. We have like incredibly high ratings on both Apple Podcasts, where people have even taken time out of their day to give us words, compliment. There's a one-star review, you know, going into business against me on there. If you want to read it, that's pretty funny. I don't care though. I appreciate people caring enough. So just shout out to everyone who's reviewed. Give the podcast 5 stars. It helps. Thank you to everyone who supported us. Thank you to the Patreons. You know, lots of love. We're going to be back. We're going to keep doing this thing until the wheels come off. Frankly, we're going to keep doing this damn podcast until Logan finally gets tired of me and decides he's ready to quit. So, hey, that's when the wheels come off for this thing. But I always just want to say thank you to everyone for listening to episode 200, a special episode of the Hawks Talks podcast. Thank you to Jake and Darren, who took time out of their days and came on and gave us a hell of a job, both of them. Shout out to Jake, who hasn't podcasted in probably three and a half years.
Two shutout innings.
Shout out to Darian, who podcasts like every once in a while, and he did a great job too. I do want to say this, you know, not to get too cynical. Thank you to Logan. You know, hey, Logan, this wouldn't be possible without you. It goes both ways. I know I play a big part here, but frankly, Logan, you know how big a part you play the podcast. You're the fan favorite, man. So thank you, Logan, for continuing to do this with me. I know I can always not be the most, you know, pleasant person or easy to work with, but throughout 4 years now, we've continued to do this. We're a great team, in my opinion. We're a great duo. There's no Hawks Talks without me, but there's also no Hawks Talks without you. Without our duo, our chemistry, there's none of it. I love you like a brother from this, so I can't say thank you enough. Listen, people, for episode 200, and we're going to keep going. We're going to keep chugging this thing along. I'm going to say it as always. Thank you for listening. Have a good rest of your day. Have a good weekend. Love you. Goodbye.